Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk explores the hard-hitting but necessary conversations for our listeners' ears. Let's talk about the tough topics that others shy away from. Let's talk about what's standing in the way of our community progress. Let's talk about how we can be better Lehigh Valley neighbors and residents. I am Dr. Hassan Batts, your host of a program that will leave you thinking. Tonight, we want to talk about Black history. Last episode, we talked about police brutality and the fact that the police are the sixth leading cause of death of Black males. Today, we're going to talk about gun violence, the leading cause of death for Black males under the age of 44. And with us this evening, we have Jeannie Garcia and Movita Johnson Harrell. I want to welcome you young ladies to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for including us.
I'm excited to have the two of you. You are our local and regional and national powerhouses, the work that you do. I'm really excited to introduce our listeners to you. So let's start there. Movita, as part of Black History Month, tell us about your personal history with violence.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show. My name is Movita Johnson Harrell. I am a 5-time co-victim of homicide. I lost my father, a cousin, my only brother, and both of my sons to gun violence. I've been in this fight for the last 11 years on the front line, actually before, because I've always been very hypersensitive about gun violence. So just fighting for Black and brown lives on both sides of the gun.
Wow. We're talking about what I call staggering statistics, right? So we talk about the fact that it's the leading cause of death of young Black men. And you just said a 5-time victim and survivor of homicide. You said your father. Can you go through that one more time for us?
Absolutely. So my father was murdered on Easter Sunday, March 30th, 1975, in front of my family. I was 8 years old. My only brother, Charles Johnson, was murdered on July 1st, 1991 at 28 years old over a girl. My son, Charles Johnson, who was named after my late brother, was murdered on January 13, 2011 in a total case of mistaken identity. My cousin, Stephen Kyrie Johnson, was murdered on January the 1st, 2013, being a peacemaker at a New Year's party. Two boys got into a fight over a girl. He attempted to squash the beef between the two of them, and the boy turned around, put the gun to his chest, and pulled the trigger. And my last surviving son, who has stood on the front line of this issue with me for the past decade, my 30-year-old son, Dante Johnson, went to California for a weekend trip, and on March 5th was shot and killed in a random drive-by.
That's powerful. It speaks to the reason that the both of you are here, because you are context experts with lived experience. And you're the folks that have the most innovative solutions to ending this gun violence, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. I want to go to Jeannie Garcia, who we endearingly call Mama Jeannie here in the Lehigh Valley. Tell us, introduce yourself. Who are you, Jeannie?
So my name is Jeannie Garcia. I am a mother of 5. I've also been a first responder and have lost over 20 people close to me in the last 20 years. The most endearing, my son, Kareem Fed, who was murdered on August 24th, 2012, at the age of 17 years old, came home from work and found him personally shot in his own bed. I am a program manager at Promised Neighborhoods, Zero Youth Violence and Reentry. I'm also the founder of Mother to Mother, a local 501c3 here in Allentown, that has a support group that is a support group for mothers who lost their children to gun violence, drug overdose, and death by suicide.
I mean, I have to say it again. Wow, right? So let's talk. Well, let's start the conversation on how do we get here? How do we get here to a place where you guys are talking about dozens of people around you in your lifetime being murdered?
I'll say for me, silence is violence, and sitting down and isolating in my own personal grief, I don't feel would do any benefit to myself or to my community. It's something that we need to talk about. It's something that's been happening and continuously gets swept under the carpet. There's a stigma attached to it. And I just felt compelled. I had no other option at this point except to get involved.
Okay. Movita.
I totally agree with everything that Jeannie said. And if even if we take a look further into the history of black and brown people, you know, we've always been expendable. Huh. Under this country's rule, right? Huh. So we talk about even going back to the days of slavery, black men and black and brown bodies, period, have always been expendable. So here we are, even coming at, you know, after the new Jim Crow, after Reconstruction, even into the civil rights movement, when we begin to disinvest in communities of color, you have what you see now within Philadelphia, we're over 500 homicides in 2021. Right. So we disinvest in education. We promote gentrification. We don't focus on all of the social determinants that actually lead to community violence, the beginning of which is poverty.
That's right. Right.
If you look at a map, the highest rates of poverty will determine the highest rates of gun violence in the community. If you look at a map of Philadelphia and you map out the communities that are the highest rates of gun violence, you will see that they are also the places where people are living below the poverty level, right? So when you look at the social determinants of gun violence, we're talking about people living in housing scarcity, food deserts, education where we've disinvested in public education. These are the communities that are more torn by gun violence, and it's because of the intentional, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we could get a handle on this gun violence problem. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is all very, very intentional. We're not meant to get a handle on gun violence because gun violence is big business. How is gun violence big business? Well, you look at the fact, and you, many people may know that I actually ran for office, and the only reason why I ran was because I was tired of people who look like me and who don't look like me, who hold these positions, not doing anything about the problem. Hmm. Right?
So you ran on the issue of gun violence?
I ran on the issue of gun violence. I was actually, so today is actually National Hijab Day, and this is the first day of Black history. The first hijabi to ever be elected to the Pennsylvania legislature.
Wow.
So I literally ran because of the gun violence issue, not just in the Commonwealth, but across this country, right? But if you look at gun violence in its totality, well, people say, well, how is it big business? So you look at prosecutors, judges, defenders, all of them make money off of
gun
violence.
That's right.
Right? Criminal justice, the criminal justice system, they are profit from black and brown bodies filling those cells. You look at Philadelphia, where we have Temple University and the University of Pennsylvania, and they're building multi-million dollar trauma bays just for gun violence. So we're actually funding doctors, nurses, surgeons.
So you're saying every murder is money. Every murder is money.
I want to piggyback
on. Well, tell us about your community, though, because she's telling us about Philadelphia.
Right. So our community, our population is way smaller. We're about 126,000. And it's the same issue in Philadelphia as here in Allentown. The poverty. Mm. People are hungry. The education here at the Allentown School District, each student is allotted about $4,000. And then the outskirts, the little communities outside of Allentown, is $16,000 per student. I just looked at a picture of my son yesterday on my dresser. And it was a classroom picture, and his teacher was Jason Moorhead.
Wow.
Jason Moorhead is a local teacher at our middle school here that is in the public eye for being one of the people who attended the Capitol riot on January 6th. And it didn't dawn on me till then. He was my son's educator, my son who was murdered. That is the time when my son started taking a different path.
You just gave me chills when you said that, Jeannie.
And I put it together and I'm like, wait a minute. So things... my eyes are wide open. The fact that I had to solve my own son's murder, and it took 5 years and 11 months, and the situation surrounding my son's murder, had my son been a Caucasian child, I believe would have happened overnight. There would have been an uproar in my community. You know, a kid gets killed as he's sleeping at home in his bed. Oh my gosh, the alarms would have went off in this community. And nobody cared enough about my son to investigate his case. And I had to do it. And I had to do it with threats. And I had to do it with, you know, out there in the community.
Both of you guys are saying that black lives are worth less within our communities, within this country. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. This is Black History Month, so let's talk about that. You're saying that Black lives are worth less, right? Let's talk about the history of violence in this country and in our communities.
Absolutely. And can I give you a scenario?
Please do.
So here's the thing. I ran for office, right? I came out of District Attorney Larry Krasner's office, criminal justice reformist. I came out of his office to run for a state representative in January of 2019. In March of 2019, I won that race with one sole intention, right? I said, I'm going to do whatever good work I can in the time that I'm here. But my sole intention was to go up to Harrisburg to bring back the money myself, because we had a strategy called the Focus Deterrence Strategy.
That's right.
That we did in 2013 and 14 that worked here in Philadelphia. It's called GVI around the country. It's created by criminologist David Kennedy out of John Jay College in New York City.
Right.
We had over a 30% reduction in the pilot in the first year of a severely underfunded strategy. Well, I sat in front of council people, state representatives, and mayors who would not fund this strategy. So I said, I'm going
that's,
to go
that's proven to work across the country and was proven to work in Philadelphia.
Everywhere it goes, it works.
Everywhere it goes, it works. A 30% decrease in violence.
Yes. So I went up to Harrisburg, and as a six-month freshman with no history in politics, did not even like civics class in high school, I was able to solidify $1.3 million for the GVI strategy. Now, why would the mother of the dead kid have to go up to Harrisburg, disrupt my entire life, go up to Harrisburg and bring back the money that someone up there could have done in the blink of an eye?
Right.
Not only that, let's look at the billions and billions of dollars that's spent each year in victim services.
Movita, before we get there, let's back up, right? Tell us about your sons. I mean, we want to humanize this issue. We're going to get to the systemic issues, but I want to know about Kareem, and I want to know about your sons. That's what I want the listeners to hear about.
Absolutely. I had two amazing sons. So Charles was my baby of four.
Mm-hmm.
Charles was 18 years old when he was murdered. Let me tell you how his spirit was. We had a family business where we cared for chronically mentally ill adults and people with co-occurring disorders. My son at 18 years old worked caring for over 100 chronically mentally ill adults every day. He was engaged to be married. His fiance was 8 months pregnant when he was murdered, and he was my baby in every sense
that's
of
right.
the word.
That's not the narrative that we hear. So tell us about your other son, because we want to humanize their memories.
My son Dante was amazing. My son Dante, all of the love and the pain that I had for Charles, he took on.
Mm.
And literally, I saw something leave Dante's eyes the night that Charles died in surgery, because they were attacked. They were 2 years apart, but they were attached at the hip since Charles was born. And they were best friends and brothers, and they did everything together. But my son took all of my pain and all of my love for Charles and carried it on his back.
Wow.
And stood on the front line of this issue. My son spoke in front of Senate and spoke in front of the House of Representatives and organized marches on the Mall to Washington, D.C.
So he was a warrior that was fighting against this issue, against gun violence.
And was actually working with men who are a part of the Blood to try and change the narrative back to what it used to be, which was about fixing community.
That's right. That's right. All right. Jeannie, tell us about Kareem.
Kareem was my fourth child. He had the sense of humor. He made us laugh. He was so intelligent. He was so loyal to his family. He was protective. He was a mama's boy. He was a leader. And he was stolen from me at a very young age. He didn't get a chance to hit any milestones. Graduating, falling in love, becoming a father, starting his career. It was all robbed from me. He loved the basketball. He was actually robbed from the community because so many people loved my son. Elderly people in the neighborhood loved my son. So many people loved my son.
So you guys are telling these stories about these beautiful black baby boys. I mean, that's the story my mother told about me, right? What do you want to say to the people that call our children that are murdered animals. Movida, what message do you want them to hear that say they deserve it, that they're animals, that they're incorrigible? You know the words.
So here's the thing, that they are our children, and that's not true. These are human beings, and none of our children deserve to be murdered on the street like animals.
That's right.
Even if we have problem children, all of our children have their own issues getting through those teenage years, right? I have this analogy that aliens come down when your kid's about 11 or 12, and they suck their brains out through their right ear, and they turn into these people you can't stand. They get these attitudes, and their friends start to matter more than you. But then around 18 or 19, the aliens come back down, and they put their brains back in through their right ear, through their left ear, and they start turning into the people that you've molded them to be.
That's right.
All of that wonderful stuff starts to shine through. So you know what? Even when our children make mistakes as teenagers, that does not give them, anybody, the right to take their lives. Human beings.
My mother used to say, if she could just get us to be 18 years old, that she did her job. And then when we turned 18, she said, if I can just get you to be 25, I did my job. And that's because of the violence within our community, the gun violence. Mama Jeannie, what do you want to say to people that say Kareem was an animal, or he was dangerous, or?
I told my son's convicted killer in the courtroom, I looked him right in the eye, and I told him, my son and you both did the same thing, just like everybody else in this courtroom. You chose the wrong friends. Show me the 5 people you hang out with, and I'll show you who you are in 10 years.
Mm.
Okay? That did not mean it was okay for him to lose his life. I understand the scenario now, the system now, how things are supposed to be. Not a broken system, a designed system. It's one to be in the grave and one to be in the cage.
You say it's designed for that.
It's a design system. And I, having this conversation, I want to reach the youth and let them know. It stops when you stop taking the bait.
Hmm.
That's when it stops, when you stop taking the bait. Yeah, we have a lot of things to change. We have a lot of work to do. But how easily we can overturn this within communities by stop taking the bait. Nobody wants...
Can I add on? Go ahead, Jeannie.
No,
sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Movida. You go ahead.
I wanted to add on to what Jeannie just said, because she's absolutely correct. It's all by design. Because let me tell you, in the case when Charles was murdered, and Charles's homicide, his shooting is on videotape from a corner store. And the homicide detective said to me, you know, Movida, while Charles was a pure victim, because they told us who the target was, it wasn't my son.
Yep.
My son didn't even know any of these people, right? He said, while Charles was a pure victim, we knew these boys were going to harm somebody eventually. They said we had them, especially the one boy, they said we had them in and out of juvenile. One of them used to harm animals. We had them both in and out of adult correctional facilities. And we knew, we saw the progression. So at that point, I looked at the homicide detective like he had 2 heads. So I said, those boys really aren't to blame for my son's death. You are.
The system.
I said, because you had them. And you knew that something was wrong. And you did not intervene. You did not give these 2 young people what was necessary to make them productive members of society.
So
and
what's
you just
what's
let it progress.
That leads us to our next question, which we kind of started with, right? What is missing? Be specific, Movida. Tell us what's missing in our communities, and what do we need to bring forth, and what do you want people to hear that are decision makers that are going to save lives, black boys' lives?
We need a couple things. So we always talk about rebuilding the village, right? We need to reimagine the village.
Because the village.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about rehabilitating people that have never been habilitated in the first place. Mm. With mass incarceration and the war on drugs, which was nothing but a war on black people, we have parents missing from the home, parents addicted to drugs. Well, we can't rebuild the village. We have to reimagine the village. That's why I say everybody's kids is my kids,
right?
That's why I'm willing to work with anybody's children, because you never know where a child is lacking and what help that they need.
Jeannie's in the studio snapping, clapping, dancing. Like she is, you got us feeling you right here.
Movida, I don't even have anything to add. Exactly. Reimagine the community, reimagine the village. It takes a village. It's the only way that it's going to work. When you just talked about the system, and they had them, and they didn't They didn't rehabilitate them. Literally at my son's court hearing, there was a timeline.
That's right.
They put a timeline up on the screen for everybody to see. All the points of where they could have intervened. And they didn't. They did nothing. So I'm feeling you right now, Movida.
Let's move on to this question, right? What do you guys say to the mothers that have lost children?
Cool.
Jeannie?
I'm going to say you got to feel to heal. Do not isolate. We know that healing happens in communities. You are not alone. Mm. And at some point, the only way that we can make sense of a senseless act is if we put up a barrier. We put our arms. We lock arms. We have to lock arms and get involved. We can't stay quiet. I know everybody grieves differently. Movida, you and I have took we've took a stance on this, and we have not let anything defeat us. We've been through a lot, and I'm here. You're not alone to the moms out there, and I need you. We need you.
And I have to say, I've watched you show up in the Lehigh Valley at every shooting, every act of violence. I've watched you clean brains up off the floor. Like, I've watched you hug mothers, go to every funeral, every vigil, provide meals. Like, you just keep going and going and going. So you're not just talking about it, Jeannie. You live it every day. Every death.
Yes, sir.
You live it. Movida, what do you say to the mom? The mom that just lost her child, the mom that lost her child 5 years ago, they're struggling. That's crushed.
So faith is valuable when we are in pain. That is when God comes to us the most, right? And while your heart is broken, I can't tell you that it'll get better, but I can tell you that God will allow you to live with a broken heart. And what you have to do is you have to just keep getting out of bed. Just keep putting one foot on the floor at a time, one foot in front of the other, no matter how painful it is. Just keep getting out of the bed. Keep getting out of the bed and find something to do for you to help you keep your child's memory alive.
Movida, one message, one ask, one call to action for the decision makers, whether it be local, whether it be statewide, whether it be national. Talk to me.
Stop worrying about your position. Stop worrying about your paychecks and start worrying about our black and brown children.
Mama Jeannie, one ask. Talk to us.
We need you as allies. You say you want to make change in our community, then show up and make change. The first thing you have to do is identify that you've been a part of this designed system, and now you're willing to make the change. You're different.
One ask for the community, Jeannie.
Show up to events. Show up and be supportive to families. Stop closing your blinds and turning your back. Get involved in your communities. Reimagine your community and how safe and beautiful it can be if you get involved.
One ask to your community, Movida.
Stop creating more victims and let's create less victims, not more victim services. All of that money that we put in places that it shouldn't go, let's invest that money into education for our children. Let's invest that into trauma treatment. Let's invest that into providing them with the opportunities so that they can be successful.
You guys are powerful, inspiring, and I need to know, and I'm sure our listeners want to know, what inspires you? Movida, what is it that keeps you going? What inspires you to do what you do with the passion that you do it with?
For number one, my children saved my life on more than one occasion. You know, I survived a crack addiction. I survived 5 homicides. I have 27 years in recovery. I got clean for my children. Every wonderful thing that I've done since I got clean was for my children, and now it's for my grandchildren. I am co-parenting 4 grandchildren that don't have fathers because of bullets that weren't meant for them.
Wow. Where do you find your inspiration, Jeannie?
I find my inspiration, as well as Movida, with my children. I refuse to allow our family legacy in Allentown to be of Kareem Fed, the murdered 17-year-old. What the legacy is going to be, the mother of Kareem Fed fought hard so that there were not more Kareem Feds in our community. And it was not senseless. Something beautiful came out of this loss. I want my kids to be proud.
You guys are keeping your sons' names alive. You're doing the work. You're showing up. Jeannie, I work side by side with you. Movida, your name has come across my ears so many times. over the years. We haven't met face to face yet, but tell us about your work, Jeannie. Tell us about the programs you lead. Tell us about the organization you started, and how can our listeners reach you and learn more about your work?
So my work with Promised Neighborhood is very dear to me because it was an organization that took me in under their wing after the loss of my son. I am the program manager again for Zero Youth Violence, which we use the Cure Violence model. We range with children from middle school to 25, and that age is going up as well. Conflict resolution, mentorship, education, employment opportunities. We're trying to get them from the cradle to the career. And we are going to do that. We have a lot of events. We're building every day on that. And then again, the reentry. So what we're doing is we're stopping recidivism. We are PNLV. We are strong. Our tribe is, we're family. Everybody in there in Promised Neighborhood has been through some, their story is deep. They're there because it's home.
So talk to us about Mother to Mother real quick, too. You lead a group called Mother to Mother.
And then Mother to Mother is a support group for grief and healing. We cannot stay in our grief. It's important that we grieve and heal. So we have workshops. We communicate every other 2 weeks. We meet, we eat together, and we also do a lot of events together.
And I see you guys show up on the scene again. Ooh. Of every shooting. You go to funerals. It's like an army of moms.
So we assist with funerals. Movita, you spoke about crime victims and victims services. A lot of times, one little flaw in an investigation will give a family a denial from victim services. Mm-hmm. So we help and assist with funerals and repass as well.
All right. Thank you. Movita, you are an author. You are a speaker. You were once a state rep. Tell us about you. Tell us about your work, your programming. How do we reach you? How do listeners learn more about you?
Yes. So for the past 11 years, I've traveled internationally speaking on gun violence, the social determinants that lead to gun violence, and empowering communities to move beyond marginalization. A month to the day that my son Charles was murdered, I created the Charles Foundation. Charles is an acronym for Creating Healthy Alternatives, Results in Less Emotional Results in Less Emotional Suffering. I coined the term survivor's empowerment because I went to traditional grief support here in Philadelphia, and I was re-traumatized. I found myself sitting, sharing the night my son was murdered over and over again, and I would leave feeling physically sick. So I wanted to do something that moved mothers from pain to healing. So we started survivors empowerment groups. The Charles Foundation pays for funerals. We pay for trauma services for young people. We do not solicit. Everything we've done comes from the muscle. We do from the muscle of our family. We have a community resource center at 52nd and Wallusen in West Philadelphia, one of the highest rates of gun violence in the city is in that district. Right now we have a program where we work with young people from the ages of 13 to 19 who are most at risk for gun violence, where we actually do same-day work and pay, which is typically geared toward adults. We do it just for young people to engage
them. Do you have a website or Instagram?
We do. So we have the charlesfoundation.com.
charlesfoundation.com.
Yep, our Instagram is thecharlesfoundation.com, and anyone who wants to reach us can reach out to me through that.
Okay, Jeannie.
Yes, please follow us on Instagram. We are PNLV. Also, Mother to Mother, Inc. on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, Jeannie, we want you to say your son's name and the names of all the sons that come to mind and daughters.
Kareem Fed, Kippy Henry, Travis DeBatch, Ruben Morales, Jose Bermudez, Eric Mondragon, Ramon Ramirez, George Martinez, Dwayne Carter, Hanson Gordon, Aiden Toussaint, Ruben Morales, Kelvin Perez, Jose Salgado, Christian Rodriguez, Jose Melendez, Rolando Tubins, Elijah Rodriguez, Nicolette Law, Jonathan Diaz, Jonathan Williams, Lauren Gonzalez, Victor Rios, Leslie Pina, Hector Morales, Carolina Monsado, Juan Sanchez, Danny Cancel, Kenyatta Utsi, Elijah Butler, Benjamin Luck, Angelica Romero, Eric Wagner, Larry Gross, Jeffrey Evans, Marcus Eggleston, Nathaniel Simmons, Paris Lane, Javard Lane, Jermaine Taylor, Charles Hughes, Charles Bryant, Richard Vera, Carlos Ritchie, George Concepcion, Johnny Lopez, Frankie Williams, Ronald McPherson, Rodney Robinson, Joey Botts, Trevor Gray, Francine Ramos, Daryl Musa, Andre Leach, and Joseph Santos.
Now, you did not know I was going to ask that question. You carry all those names in your heart. Movida, say the names.
Oh, my God. There are too many names to mention. Charles Andre Johnson, Dante Lee Johnson, Stephen Kyrie Johnson, Charles Anthony Johnson, Alan Stephen Hargett, Mario Pedro, oh, my God, Hakeem Bryant, Terrence Wilson, Marquise Hudson, Daryl Singleton.
Wow. You said 500 murders in Philadelphia last year.
More than 500.
More than 500. So this morning we got the announcement that we received a violence prevention grant from PCCD, Pennsylvania Commission on Crime Delinquency, through the Promised Neighborhoods of the Lehigh Valley and Lehigh Valley Health Network in partnership of $1.9 million. So the funding came. I was excited. And Jeannie, Movida, within 30 minutes, I got texts and calls and emails that a childhood friend of mine, Ahmaud Perkins, was murdered in Brooklyn by a shooting. This issue is close to all of our hearts. I appreciate all that you guys do. I love you, your work. You have an ally. You ever need me, let me know. Anything you want to say in closing to our listeners? Movida.
I would just say get involved before your phone rings. You know, when you have black and brown children, you have a fear. You carry this fear every single day that your child could be the next statistic. Get involved before your child becomes the next statistic.
Thank you for all you do. Jeannie, in closing.
I was going to say the same thing. Please don't wait until the violence knocks on your front door, because then it's too late for your family. You grieve. You do not want to feel this pain, I promise you.
These are systemic issues. There are social determinants of justice, social determinants of violence at play, and both of you have said that this is intentional, and again, it is systemic. I thank you for your time and for all that you do. Thank you, listeners, for making the time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming on WDIY.org and on all the major podcast platforms. I am Dr. Hassan Batts, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Let's Talk.